by doing it that way, we've ended up with sometimes 40 and 50% conversion from those events. And, you know, probably one of our best one was doing 26K in an hour. The call booking rate has actually been really great. So the registrations that we're getting, I'd say we're somewhere around 200-300 a month registered for the workshops. There's usually two within that time. And we're booking about like 35% calls. So of the people who show, we're booking about 35% into calls and closing around 30.
You can always win out over a more advanced marketer, over someone that's a bigger audience with a bigger reach, with, you know, you can always win out over those people with proximity, just like you said. You don't need a fancy funnel.
If you want to build a legitimate, profitable online business without shiny objects, without the hypey gimmicks, and without the stress and overwhelm, if you want to make more money without having to be present online all day, every day, pumping out content that nobody sees and hustling DMs to generate leads and sales, then this is the place for you. Welcome to the Digital Trailblazer Podcast, your online business university, where you'll learn how ordinary people start from ground zero with no influence, no email list or audience to sell to, and no business or marketing experience, and go from working 9-to-5 jobs to building successful 6- and 7-figure online businesses and all the steps in between. Learn the strategies that worked and what didn't. Learn the mistakes that they made and how to avoid them, and then learn their plans for scaling their businesses and taking things to the next level. All so that you can build your business faster and easier and make more money without sacrificing the things that are important to you in your life. I'm your host, Leah Ray Getz, and with me is my husband, Todd. Now, let's get to it with today's guest. I'm super excited to introduce Jody to our audience. Jody, go ahead and let our audience know what you're all about.
Okay. So I am a coach for online coaches who want to launch and scale with group coaching programs.
Interesting. Okay. So how did you start? And because this, obviously, you don't wake up, or you shouldn't at least wake up tomorrow and decide to do this.
So I actually was let go from my job back in 2013. And I was like, okay, I need to figure something out. What am I going to do here? And a couple weeks later, I ran into somebody who I was in the fitness world, 20 years in the fitness industry, trainer, did all the things, corporate ladder and all that stuff. I ended up managing 13 locations and 100 trainers. So that was like the last job that I had there. And then I ran into somebody who I had worked with previously who was now running his own studio. And as soon as he saw me, he said, Jody, I'm so happy to see you. I am running the studio. I need help. And I was like, I think I might be able to help you. So we decided on, you know, a small amount of money that he was going to pay per hour. At the time, we did hourly. And I'm like, let's try this out. You tell me if I'm doing a good job. I will decide if I like it or not. We'll kind of figure it out together. And he was good with that. And that's kind of how it started. So we ended up working together for almost 2 years and we built him a 6-figure in-person club, like studio fitness business.
And then when did you transition to the online space?
So as I started to run this business and I was learning online, right? So for years, I did my own online thing, trying all of the different strategies, doing all of the different master classes and social media and all of that stuff. And eventually, I actually ended up working for a coach I had hired. Mm-hmm. So she had helped me like year, probably 3 or 4. I'm like, okay, I need to finally hire somebody. It's time. And I did, and she helped me 4x my revenue, and it was awesome. And then I just loved working with her. And I also, you know, there was obviously two pieces. Part of it was that, and part of it was I was making money, but it wasn't consistent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I needed to do some things in my life. And I was like, okay, I think I'm going to go and work for her. She put up this job posting, and I was like, I think I could do that. And I ended up being the head coach inside of her 7-figure online business, helping people build online. So I sort of like learned it for myself, trials and tribulations of my own business, got to a certain point, ended up working for her. I was with her about 18 months and, you know, learned a lot more through that. And then I went back out on my own. And then, of course, I decided I had to do some things differently than the first time around. And I did. And then we started this business in late 2019, 2020.
So you're doing some really cool stuff that's a little bit different when it comes to getting new clients. So that's what our audience loves and wants to hear all about. With you've got some really cool conversion rates and just interesting things that you're doing. So I'd love to hear more about what's working really well for you right now.
Yeah. So we use virtual dinner parties. And this started because my best friend and I in 2018 had decided to host these in-person dinner parties that were themed. And we specifically invited certain people and we curated the event and we had seating arrangements and we did all of that stuff. And we really just did it for fun. We didn't know it was going to become a business. We didn't necessarily have that intention. We just really wanted to bring great people together. And so we had started in, I guess, late 2018. And then, you know, people kept coming and people kept saying, hey, like, when can I come back? And is there another one? And can I bring my friend? And all of that stuff. And then when 2020 came and the world shut down, we went, okay, guess we can't do them in person anymore. And so we had to shift to online. And so we just basically did the best that we could to move the experience from in person into an online situation. And the whole idea behind it was that it was casual. It wasn't meant to be like a vehicle for sales necessarily. It was meant to bring people together. It was meant to be easy. It was meant to feel, you know, like you were with family or friends, even though you just met them. It was just meant to feel really good and have people have a great time, walk away with something, have met someone new that they could collaborate with, could be their client, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and so we moved it online. And that is the same vibe that we've been using. Like, we don't use opt-in and thank you pages for it. We don't do all of the typical online marketing things. Mm-hmm. We do everything through DMs and personal invitation and getting people just getting to know them mm-hmm. and bringing the right people together. And so by doing it that way, we've ended up with sometimes 40 and 50% conversion from those events. And, you know, probably one of our best one was doing 26K in an hour. So it was basically like bringing, I think at that one, we might have had 10 converted, 5. Mm-hmm. Right? So it was like much fewer numbers. Mm-hmm. I always say proximity wins, like get close to your people.
Yeah.
Right? One day when you have 10,000 people in your audience and you just want to send emails, cool. But until you get to the place where you want to be on your monthly reoccurring revenue, mm-hmm. for me, proximity is what it's all about. So that's what we've done.
So I guess there's really a couple pieces to dive into here. One is the nurture process. How are you finding people? How are you inviting them? And then there's the actual what happens in those events. So, and like follow up and all that kind of stuff. So start with the front end of this. Right? How are you generating leads, if you will, for these events?
So a few different ways. So one is through, primarily we use Facebook. That's the primary social platform that me and my clients are on. So it's everything from friend requests and connecting with people in groups, having their own Facebook groups to kind of collect all the people that they talk to whenever they talk to them. And also some of my clients are using in-person events to find people still, right? So they're still using that proximity rule to connect with really great people and then invite them into their online space. So all those different ways to get people. And then we're using personal invitation. So everything is like you specifically are invited. So it isn't really hey, we're hosting this dinner and whoever wants to come can come. It's more of a curated situation where we are inviting, let's say, 20 or 30 or 40 people. And then obviously there's numbers. It goes from the invites to the responses to how many people show up and all of that stuff. But it's curated, and we're specifically inviting people who we know will connect on some level, whether it's business or personal.
So I'm curious more on that side of things, because there's a lot of people who are like, what does that mean? Like, what should I be doing on Facebook so that I'm building the network up, so that I'm connecting ongoing, so that when I send a curated message to someone, it's not really weird and out of the blue? What does that look like?
Yeah, so the biggest one is really doing the friend requesting. And I know a lot of people are like cold requesting and cold this and da da da, but it's like, you're on social to be social, right? So we're not going into it being, you know, in this mode of, I'm trying to get you to be my client and take your money, right? That's not the vibe, right? The vibe is, I'm connecting with really great people. I always connect with people who I am genuinely interested in, regardless of if they're interested in being a client, right? So when I look at someone's profile and I decide if I'm going to send them a friend request or not, I'm going, is there something about you that's interesting? That's, you know, maybe there's some kind of likeness, right? Maybe you have the same kind of dog. Maybe you both have three kids. Maybe whatever, you went to the same school. Like, is there something that's connecting you? Is there a reason that you want to connect with them other than they might be your client, right? So that's kind of the first thing. It's like, it has to be authentic. It has to feel good. And we have to go on there to be social and have fun, right? So it starts with that. And then honestly, what happens is Facebook realizes who you are connecting with, and they start sending you suggestions of people who are probably really good matches, right? So we do a lot of that. And then when you actually connect with them, it's like, we're not sending these messages that are saying, hey, book a call with me right away, or hey, you know, like buy my program or any of that stuff. Or, you know, we're not going down that road. So everything is, again, really authentic and connected. Hey, awesome to connect with you. You know, I love your dog. I love the post you did about whatever, like something that's just genuine. We do a lot of value add DMs. So whether it's, hey, I'm hosting this free event, not the virtual dinner party necessarily, but maybe you're doing a Facebook Live or something like that. Hey, I'm hosting this event. Are you interested? Not sending any links until they say yes, right? So just keeping it like in a friendly kind of zone. And it can really take any direction, right? Maybe based on the conversation, you do tell them that you have this virtual event coming up in the first conversation, right? If it goes that way, go for it. Maybe it makes more sense for them to come into your Facebook group first, right? So there is this level of having the proximity piece allows you to have these proper conversations that aren't scripted, that are there for you to actually connect with them. So whichever way it goes, like if they should be invited to the event right away, you could do that. If they go to the Facebook group, when they join in the three questions that you ask, when people can join your group, we always let them know the next event is on this day. Do you want to come? Right? So then it's right there. So either we had the conversation in the DM here, or we have the conversation once they join the group, because when they join the group, we also send them a message. Hey, welcome to the group, right? We see you're interested in coming on blah, blah, blah day to this event. We're really excited to have you, right? And then it goes from there. So everything is really just about being super authentic and actually getting to know people and going in with the intention of supporting and helping and all of that stuff, not to sell. And that's how it goes.
Do you find that that strategy of sending a friend request and reaching out and DMing, do you find that that's more or less effective in some niches than others?
That's a good question. I think what I'll say is this. If you are connecting with other entrepreneurs, it can be easier, because there is this natural tendency and desire for entrepreneurs to connect with each other. So sometimes it can be easier with that. And sometimes a little loophole, even if you are a fitness coach, nutrition coach, life coach, with which most of my clients are, they are connecting with entrepreneurs and then getting to that piece after. So it's making those business connections, which could be great for all different kinds of reasons. And then if it fits, then they can go into the things that they are helping with and supporting people with.
Gotcha. Yeah. And the only reason I ask is because I know that I'm super resistant to any friend requests. Like, I've just been pitched over and over and over.
I get it.
And anytime I get a friend request and I click on the person's profile and on the banner, I see anything about I help coaches and course creators, you know, build their business organically, quote, yeah. It's like, okay, I know what you're up to. No, thanks. Like, I know that I'm going to get pitched at some point on a strategy that I have no interest in doing.
Right? Totally.
So, but it may not be like that in other niches, right? People may not have been so inundated with pitches like that in, say, the fitness niche or, you know, in some other niche. But that being said, it still works in a lot of niches. It still works even in our niche, right? Even in the coaches and course creators niche, it still works.
Yeah.
Because we used to use it.
Right? Yeah. Like for us, I actually find it works better in our coaches and entrepreneurs niche because there are still tons of people who just want to connect, right? They just want to meet new people, whether it's because they're going to become a client, whether it's because they need an accountability partner, whether it's like whatever it is, right? So, you know, I've been on lots of calls where I connect with them because, like I said, the intention was I want to just connect with you. I think that you're cool, right? There's something about your profile that I like. So when I start talking to them, we book a call. It's like I wasn't booking the call trying to sell her. I was just trying to book. I just have one example in my head I'm thinking about. But, you know, I was booking the call because I was interested in what she did. And by the end of the call, she was asking me if I could help her. I'm like, I mean, I didn't expect to talk about that, but sure. Right. So I think it's just also the energy that you're putting out there and what you're doing and how you're saying it. And like, of course, I've gotten a million and one of those messages too. And I'm also like, delete, delete, delete. But if there's someone who reaches out who I think they're interesting and there's something about them, then maybe I will say yes.
Do you do anything special with your profile? Because, you know, I'm sure there's like, do you have a banner that says who you are and what you do? Like, do you have put anything in a bio? Are there any links that you know, that people can check out before they accept the friend request?
Yeah. So definitely on the banner, like I say who I am, and my Facebook group is actually up on my banner. And then the main link for me is to my Facebook group as well, because I just want everyone to be in the same place so I can nurture and get to connect with them there and send them the messages when they join and all of that stuff. So yeah, those are probably the two main things. And of course, like a little bio that just says what I do.
And then I know for, I mean, a lot of people are kind of familiar with this strategy, but a lot of people may not be. If they're starting it out for the very first time, Facebook definitely has limits on how many messages you can send, on how many friend requests you can send and things like that. Can you just quickly go over, like if you were to, you know, start this tomorrow and you've never done it before, what are some limits that you want to stay under in order to make sure that you're not getting blocked or suspended or things like that?
I would start with probably 5 to 10 friend requests and messages a day. So start with that. Do it for like a week or two. You know, we're not trying to blow things up over here. So I would start with that. And then they can incrementally add, right? There can also be some help there if you do them at different times. Like if you do 10 in the morning and then a couple hours later you do 10 more and a couple hours later you do 10 more. So it can also help to spread it out. If you change the message a little bit, that will help as well. And the other thing that I've had happen is when you try to do it too quickly, like you're copy pasting really quickly to get a whole bunch of messages done, Facebook doesn't like that. So try to like keep the pace a little bit. But, you know, from my account, I could probably send 40, 50 messages a day now for sure. Maybe more.
Okay. So connecting with people, whether if you don't have an audience following this method to really make those initial connections, but if you do have an audience, if people are engaged, obviously those people are going to be a lot warmer and even really excited to receive those messages and get those invitations. So very cool. Now, the dinner party, what does this look like? How is this? What is it, a networking event? Is it a, do you eat? Do you, like, what's going on here?
Great question. So when we send the invitation, we typically send out like a designed PDF style guide, I guess you can say, that has usually a drink recipe and maybe a food recipe. So people are welcome to do whatever they want. If they want to cook it before and eat it before, if they want to, like, they can do whatever they want. We tell them in the invitation, like, we don't want people to feel like they have to be, like, eating on camera, you know? So it just kind of makes it fun. I think people are more likely to bring the drink than the food. but we set out like a little recipe beforehand so that it's like, again, has that kind of fun, like casual vibe. And then on the actual event, typically we're doing, you could do it two ways. If you're more in the coaching entrepreneurial type of space, you may or may not do any content. It may just be more of a networking conversational type of event. If you are more like B2C, like if you have clients who are looking for support with fitness, life, like that kind of stuff, then you're probably doing a little bit of content. Maybe 10 or 15 minutes. So people come, you welcome them, introductions and all that stuff. I like to do the intros in the chat so that not everybody is talking and it's taking 20 minutes to do intros. So in the chat. And then from there, if you're doing content, I would do like 10, 15 minutes, like a three tips, five ways, like something like that. Nothing crazy, not slides, not, you know, all that fancy stuff. It's casual. So they might present, you know, 10 or 15 minutes on a certain topic, you know, three steps of losing weight without spending 18 hours in the gym a week, whatever it is. And then from there, we usually have some kind of discussion questions and we use the breakout rooms. So the idea is like, show up, be the expert, be the leader, create these conversations, allow people to create community and get to know people, because that's the precursor to being in a group coaching program, right? So we want to start to create community now. And what ends up happening is after the breakout rooms, usually we do at least two, if not three, just depending on timing and how it's going. And at the end of that, you would do a Q&A. So this is the opportunity to show up as the expert, right? So rather than, the reason I do this is because one, I like how it's casual and it's easy. But two, it's like when people are getting started in online business, especially when you're getting started, there's all this overwhelm that comes with, I have to create email lists, opt-in page, thank you page, emails, sales page, blah, 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 right? I don't want people to get stuck in all that stuff. All they need to do is show up, be themselves, and help deliver some really great content that people will find valuable, right? So I try to just like simplify it all. And so they don't have to get caught up in, I have to create a slideshow and I don't know what to say and I don't know how to lay it out and like all of that stuff. So simple conversation, breakout rooms, getting everyone to know each other, showing up as the expert at the end through Q&A. And then at the end, I have them invite their potential clients into what I call an immediate impact call, which is a sales call. But the idea is that, you know, where a lot of coaches say, you know, don't give people anything, don't give them anything they can actually use, don't give the action items and stuff like that. I'm the opposite. I'm like, let's give them something, right? So the immediate impact call is like the opportunity there is for the client to actually get something. So for me, in my business, I use a group coaching offer on it. So whether they buy or whether they don't, they get something. And they get off the call feeling like, wow, I got this amazing information. I feel confident about my offer now, right? And if even if they don't buy now, they're coming back. They're staying in touch. They're feeling like I gave them something. So the idea is to do the Q&A, show up as the expert, invite them to this immediate impact call where you're actually going to help them with something, whatever it is, fitness plan, nutrition plan, self-care plan, whatever plan, something like that. Again, where the potential client's going to get really great value. And then they end up converting because they feel like you really care about them.
So within the breakout rooms, how many people are in the breakout room? And then how do you like give them suggestions, like a list of questions to go through? Or do you just kind of let them go and say, hey, discuss? Or how does that work?
Yeah. So I'd probably put 3 to 4 people in a breakout room. So I don't want it to be too big. I want everyone to have a chance to talk. And they'd be in there, you know, maybe 10, 12 minutes, depending. And the topic would be given to them. So we'd give them the question to discuss because we want to create the question where they're going to then come back with the Q&A so that we can show up as the expert, so that we can help them with the stuff that we really are wanting to help them.
And just technology-wise, is this something you're doing in Zoom, or are there other software platforms that can do this with the breakout rooms and everything?
So we use Zoom. To be honest, I'm not sure if there are others that do breakout rooms, but we do use Zoom, yeah. So
we talked about sort of the average size. If we, like number wise, what are you typically getting? Like how many invites do you do? How many show up? And then even the numbers, booking calls and then conversions. So like at every step of this process, what does that look like?
Okay, so I would say, again, depending on how warm their audience is, if it's totally cold, if they're following up, like depending on that, but probably somewhere between like 60 and 80 invites.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe about half are replying,
mm-hmm.
like at all, right? So let's say it's 60, maybe around 30, maybe 40 are replying. The goal that I like to set for people is to get 20 people to say yes. So whatever the activity needs to be for reach outs to get 20 people to say yes. And then the show rate is usually around 50% for these. So where like a normal masterclass or something like that these days can be like maybe 15%, 20, 22, you know what I mean? So the show rate for these is higher, so about 50%. So if they have 10 people who are, or 20 people who are saying yes, 10 to 12 people who actually show up, and then probably booking about half of them into calls and half of them saying yes into the program. So it's like, it's all proximity. That's all it is. It's just getting close to people. It's building that know, like, trust quickly. It's getting that conversion faster than you would through emails over, you know, months and months. It's just happening faster this way.
That's one of the things that we're always teaching. Like anytime we bring a new client into our program and they're like brand spanking new and they, you know, they've never even put together a funnel, you can always win out over a more advanced marketer, over someone that's a bigger audience with a bigger reach, with, you know, you can always win out over those people with proximity, just like you said. You don't need a fancy funnel, because you think about it, the analogy that we always use is imagine that you are looking to buy a house, right? And so the first thing you want to do is you want to find a realtor. Now, if you have, say, a brother-in-law that is a realtor part-time, that's never sold a house before, that, you know, has very little success, but he's a realtor and he's first time, whatever. Are you going to hire him as your realtor, or are you going to go with the person that you've never met before, but they've got billboards all over town? Most likely, you're going to go with the person that you know, right? It's going to be your brother-in-law, right?
Yeah.
Even though there's definitely a better realtor that sold many more houses, that has a team behind them, that has better marketing and everything else, you're going to go with the person who is closer proximity. And it's the same thing with any type of marketing program. People are going to go with the person that they know, like, and trust over the person that has the better marketing.
100%. So I'm curious about your follow-up and like re-invites, or like, what are you doing with folks post, because they're not doing an opt-in, right, to get into email. So what does this look like?
Okay, so I should have said this before, but when they come to the event, we actually do send out a questionnaire beforehand. And on there, we ask them if they want to join the email list. So whether it's to get a freebie or whatever it is. Okay, so then they would be usually on the email list. So there is that piece, but we do all of our follow-ups again in the DMs. So the event happens, we invite them to the call, they book or they don't. If they do, awesome. You see them on the call, you follow up in like, you know, hey, I'm excited to see you, and making sure they're reminded and they show up and all that. And if they don't book a call, then they're getting usually two messages we send right after the event. So one like the next day and one maybe 3 or 4 days later, little bit of urgency with a deadline to book the free call to make sure that they get it done, right? And then after that, like, again, 9 times out of 10, they're now in our Facebook group in some way, shape, or form, either like through the event they got there, or that's where they came through first, or whatever it is. So now they're in the Facebook group. So in the group, we're also doing a ton of like value add DMs. So in there, we are sending messages to people to invite them to our Facebook lives. We are sending them messages to let them know that there's a brand new freebie that they can get. So we are doing those value add DMs all the time, right? So, you know, not every single person in the group is getting every single message, because we are doing it manually still. We're not using a ManyChat, or we're not using any of that stuff. Like, a real person is sending a message and actually talking to them. And that's a choice that I purposely made so that we have this personal connection with them. So if they haven't booked a call the first time around, we're just continuing to nurture the relationship, and we're continuing to show up live in the group, and we're continuing to post content in there. And, you know, when the typically we do like a bigger event where we do promote, you know, down the road as they get comfortable. And now, you know, in my business, we're doing like a bigger event every 2 or 3 months. So then they'd be invited again.
So it sounds like there's no VAs involved here. There's no.
There are.
Oh, there are. Okay.
Yeah.
So what is that?
Yeah. Yeah. So the VAs are doing the DMs. So usually they are sending like the invitations, like the DMs that don't need to be done by me, right? The things that are more, obviously we still try to make it a little bit personal and stuff like that. Like the VAs know to go and look at their profile and all of those things. But they would be sending the initials, or they would be sending a message that's going to everybody about joining the next event or workshop or whatever it is, their virtual dinner party, Facebook Live, right? So they would be doing those. Typically, once someone replies, then I might jump in at that point, right? To make sure that it's, you know, it's custom and it's personal. But yeah, so the VAs would be involved in that piece of it.
So the VAs are working DMs for the people in the Facebook group?
Yeah.
Okay. And are they DMing from their own personal profile, or are they DMing from your business page, or are they DMing from your personal profile?
They're DMing from my personal profile as themselves. So, hey, it's Mel from Jody's team.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. So that people recognize my name, right? When the message comes up, but inside, I don't want them to think they're talking to me when they're not. So she always says when it's her or Aaron, those are my two VAs, they would say that it's them.
Are those VAs, are they based in the United States or are they based overseas?
I have one in Canada and one in the US.
Okay. And do they use a VPN to log into your account to do that?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Because I know that's something that Facebook will like shut down your personal account for if they see people from foreign countries logging into your personal account. Like, because it's like, okay, well, 1 minute you're here in Canada and then the next minute you're over in Pakistan. Then that's not good.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we're using a VPN. We haven't had an issue yet. I'm not promising I won't, but so far we've been doing it for 3 years now and all good.
Yeah. And I know a lot of other marketers that do it that way as well. And I don't think I've heard of any of them really having an issue as long as they're using that VPN. So.
And I definitely appreciate the fact that you're having them identify themselves. That's something that I don't like. That I know a lot of people do is having someone pretend to be them. And that just feels icky to me.
Yeah, no. No, I mean, look, guys, like I know that this system is something that a lot of people are not using anymore, not feeling great about it. I get it, but it's still working for us. And I think part of it is because we took all of those pieces that I also felt and tried to remove them as much as possible, right? We're being honest about who's in there. We're being honest about who we're connecting with. It's not just click, 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 click for all your friend suggestions. Like we're going to the profile. We're looking to see if there's a reason that we want to connect with them no matter what. These things matter. These things are what's making the difference.
Overall, so you're sending, you said 30 to 40 messages per day and friend requests?
We could be, yeah.
Okay. So how long, like over the course of a day, like how many hours a day are you spending doing that part of it?
I guess it's hard to say exactly what's what because they're sending all different DMs and they're doing friend requests and they're doing all different things. Between the two of them, I would say we're probably spending, it's a little different in my business now actually too because I'm now running ads, right? So there's a little bit less of the DMing and stuff going on and more ads, which is like the next step, right? The progression for people. So at the beginning, I would say people should be doing at least an hour a day of whatever kind of connecting you need to do, whether you're sending friend requests, whether you're sending that initial message to connect, whether you're sending invitations to the people in your Facebook group for your next live, like whatever you're doing, my recommendation would be at least an hour a day.
Now that you bring up ads, I'm curious about that. So what are you running ads to? Is it to your Facebook group? Is it to a free lead magnet, like a PDF download? What are you running the ads to?
Okay. So again, like there's a progression, right? It's the same progression that I have gone through. It's the same progression that I teach my clients too. So we start with the virtual dinner parties. We start with the DMs. We start with all that stuff, creating the Facebook group. And then as they grow, once they've launched their group coaching programs, some of them, if they want to, are choosing to move into ads. And so now, and also into a workshop. So there's virtual dinner parties that can happen, and there's also a workshop that can happen. So right now in my business, the ads are going to the workshop.
Okay. And in that workshop, what's the offer at the end?
So the workshop is all about designing the perfect group coaching offer. That's what the workshop is. So they actually come and create it in real time with me. And the offer at the end is my group coaching program.
Are they booking a call at the end, or are they just signing up right there? Okay. So it's booking call. It's a book a call. Okay.
Yes.
So are you also inviting from your group and other things when you're doing those workshops?
Yep. So we run the workshop regularly, like every 2 weeks, sort of when I call behind the scenes, like through the ads. So that's always happening. And then we would do like a bigger sort of promotion to everybody, full email list, full Facebook group and all of that stuff. Probably every 10 to 12 weeks.
It sounds live. Is it a live webinar?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have any numbers or conversions on that?
The call booking rate has actually been really great. So the registrations that we're getting, I'd say we're somewhere around 200-300 a month registered for the workshops. There's usually two within that time. Mm-hmm. And we're booking about like 35% calls. So of the people who show, we're booking about 35% into calls and closing around 30.
So what are your like plans for next steps? Like, where do you want to grow from here?
Honestly, I think we're just going to try to skyrocket the workshop system. It's working. It's converting. We're consistently having people registering. You know, all the Facebook stats are where they're supposed to be. So now it's just kind of fueling the fire and doing either, whether it's more events like going to weekly, whether it is trying to get more people into the two events a month that we do already, and just trying to, fuel that fire because it's already working. So for me, I like to keep things simple. If it's already working, just do more of it.
So I know that, I think we mentioned before how Facebook has those limits on, you know, the number of friend requests you can send and DMs and all that. So how do you plan on scaling that if there's limits on that?
So the scale is to go to ads, right? Okay. So eventually and it's not to say we never do DMs anymore. We still do a lot, but now they're more focused in the Facebook group rather than bringing people in from outside. So when you're first getting started and you're in those first months when you're trying to get to that revenue that you're looking for, whether it's 3K, 5K, 8K, whatever, then you'd be doing that whole system. But when you're ready to get into Facebook ads, you can do less of the, you know, friend requests and stuff like that. But we still continue to do the DMs inside the Facebook group for sure.
So if people want to check you out, where should they head?
So if they want to check me out, they can go to, it's like hard to give all the letters. Well, it's not hard, but it's long. So jodyrubackcoaching.com/, now I have to say all the letters, Design the Perfect Group Coaching Offer, DPGCO-workshop. I told you it was long.
It is. But we'll have the links to everything in the show notes and description. So this has been awesome, Jody. Thanks so much for being with us today.
You are so welcome. Thank you, guys.
You've been listening to the Digital Trailblazer podcast. For show notes and information about today's guest, head to digitaltrailblazer.com. Now, if you love this episode, if you got some value, make sure you leave us a review and subscribe. And be sure to share this episode with anyone you know who could use help to build their business. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.